Good evening, Wahoos and ACC fans. Welcome to a very exciting show tonight. Jim and I are going to try to break down and critique the debacle that occurred in the second half in Charlottesville on Saturday. Tough loss for the Cavaliers, and there's a tough road ahead. The next two games really become essential. Maryland on the road, and then Duke at home. Both games will be at 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon on successive Saturdays. Anyhow, on Saturday, Coach London made the changes that he promised to the O-line. There was shuffling. There were new wide receivers starting the game, and he replaced the punt returner with veteran Tim Smith. That looked like a smart play. Anyhow, somehow Virginia negated a perfectly good game with a slew of turnovers. All of them seemed to happen back-to-back-to-back. A bunch of ridiculous penalties. Some of which I would debate, and one or two that were so obvious, incredible. It's very important that Virginia, as an entire team, decides to put their heads together and fight hard this week. They've got to have a great week of practice, and they've got to go to College Park, and they've got to beat Maryland in the last time they will face Maryland as an ACC opponent. So the game is historic in that regard. But for Coach London and his staff and the players, it's bigger than that. Wahoos have got to protect the ball, avoid penalties, get better fast. Anyhow, we're glad that you joined us tonight.
This is Habo, and you mentioned practice. I was interested in a newspaper, Luke Bowonko.
Yep.
Am I pronouncing that right?
He
said, we look great all week in practice. Reminds me of the Habo Allen Iverson thing. We're talking about practice, you know. Shows I don't get real fired up about how you play in practice.
Did Allen Iverson get that from you?
Yeah, I think so. You know, let's see how you play in the games when it counts. But anyway, as Frank said, we'll break down the disappointing performance on Saturday. Look forward to a couple of big Saturdays to come, and they need to find some answers, and they need to find them soon. But we will be joined shortly. At least we expect to be joined by former UVA running back David Sloan. And then later in the program, Dr. Jody Smith from Ortho Virginia will join us, as he does frequently, to give us an injury report. And then next week, another former great from UVA quarterback and one-time sideline radio guy, Gene Arnett, and Dr. David Nediff will join us. So it's a tough week, Frank. You can try to spin it how you can. But they didn't play very well. A lot of mistakes, turnovers, and they continue to do the things that cause you to lose games.
No two ways about that. Having reviewed the game on replay, there were some things I noticed. I would call some of these things anomalies, and some other things were disturbing trends. One trend is certain. A couple of the top players on the team had just head-scratching turnovers. I thought Parks' knee was down on that nice breakaway run up the middle to get Virginia out of there, deep in their territory. They should have reviewed that play. The referees did not review the play. London didn't make a big enough fuss. I watched it on instant replay, and obviously the advantage of seeing it again, and it looked like his knee hit the ground before the ball came out. I thought that was down by contact. Anyhow, Eli Harold, early in the game, got called for the most mysterious penalty I've seen in a long time. He came off the right edge as the defensive end, just clobbered the quarterback. His arms were below his shoulder blades, yet they called him for striking the quarterback in the face mask.
Well, I think what happened on that play is the quarterback ducked.
And Harold
was already in his defensive tackle, I think that's one of the problems football's going to have going forward, is they have just gotten so sensitive about these hits that they're changing the game. That's why a lot of people are concerned about the future of football, is they're making the game different than it has always been and what is popular.
Well, what they're going to do is when they're watching the films Saturday and Sunday and Monday, they're going to tell the defensive ends, just smother the quarterback. Don't do anything else.
Yeah.
Now it's also interesting. In the old days, a defensive end coming off the edge, they'd lower the boom with their helmet, and they would just, I can remember Deacon Jones, Bubba Smith, all the greats. They would lower the boom. Today, that play would be illegal. And so Harold trying to get a good lick on this quarterback, put his arms below his shoulder blades and really gave what amounted to a forearm shiver. And it was a little unorthodox, but it wasn't illegal. And it certainly shouldn't happen on Virginia's home field. It's just the craziest call. On the flip side, I did think that Watford's interception in the fourth quarter, he stared the receiver down. He did not look over the field. And he led Kyle Dawkins by just too much on a slant play. That ball has to be slightly in front of the receiver. It has to be a bullet. And that ball was way out in front. And Dawkins never put his hand on the ball.
Well, what they say about a lot of teams that are still in a building process, the old line, the team has a very small margin of error. This team has a very small margin of error, and there were far too many errors. It's, you know, you if you're really good, sometimes you can make a number of mistakes and still win. This team is not there.
Well, you know, one frustrating aspect was I know Watford has got to feel snake bit, and to give him his due, he threw some great deep balls. A couple of times he overthrew people in the early in the first quarter. A couple, like Mizell, was streaking down the middle, and if he just put a little air into the ball, that was an easy touchdown. But in the fourth quarter, he threw the bomb to Tim Smith with 14:45 to go, right after Jennings made a nice return on that kickoff, and that was a 79-yard play. Smith jumped in the air, made a tremendous grab with the defensive back on his back, came down, landed, and trotted in the end zone. What appeared to be a game-tying touchdown, which would have really brought the crowd into the game. And then you look back up the field, there's a flag, and they called Eric Smith, a rookie, a true freshman at right tackle, fired off the ball and forgot that it was a pass play. Now, why he is 7 or 8 yards down the field is just mind-boggling. And every coach probably had a conniption fit because you got to know what your team is called as a play. And, you know, poor Smith, I think he had, by and large, not a bad game. But that penalty wiped out any chance, I think, for Virginia to win. That was a huge swing.
Well, it's a momentum killer is the big thing. You know, and I guess we haven't necessarily indicated yet how we follow the show. We'll do that here shortly. But, Chris Sill, jump in here. Chris, tell the fans how to follow the show.
Yeah, if you guys have any input, we'd love to hear it. Go ahead and call in. It's 345-0910. It's also streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. Go ahead and call in, and if you have any questions for our guest, David Sloan, or if you have any questions for Frank and Jim, please call in. We'd love to hear your comments because certainly there's a lot to talk about, a lot to chew on. Right?
Yeah, we may or may not have answers, but you can call in with your questions.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm getting some text messages from a few people saying, stop making excuses. Look, flat out, the game was tied at halftime. It was tied a little bit later. There were some bright spots in the game. You got to remember, this is the same team that only scored 3 points up at Pittsburgh. The coaching staff reshuffled the offensive line. In fact, at least 3 or 4 players were playing in a position different from where they were the week before. Secondly, he started some new wide receivers, so the coaches are shaking it up. The quarterback threw some better balls. Did he also make some mistakes? Yes, he did. Is he learning? Yes. Has he only started 5 games? Yes. Is playing quarterback in the ACC and big time college football hard? Yes. The quarterback for Ball State looks like he can play anywhere. And I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get a look at the next level because he throws a lot of good balls.
He throws good balls, and he's smart. He throws the ball in the right place to the right guy, and it's those things. You know, I mean, football comes down to oftentimes 1 or 2 plays a game. And I think the thing that's concerning me is you'd like to see evidence that things are getting better. And that's my concern. You don't see much evidence of that.
Well, I would argue that. I would say that there were some improvements in a variety of areas. First off, Kevin Parks had a nice rushing game minus the fumble. He had over 100 yards. The other team knows he's running the ball. They're loading the box, right?
Well, you know what Mrs. Lincoln often said? It was really a good play other than that one little incident.
Yeah, Jim. But by the way, I just looked up an interesting stat. I looked up an interesting stat. Their quarterback
Don't shield his laughter. That was funny.
It wasn't that funny. You've used it 3 times the last 2 years. The other quarterback had started 39 games of 40. So let me give you this. I'll give you this. Mike Rocco should be the starting quarterback right now. And
well, but whose fault is that?
Not that again. And
whose fault is that? Is it Rocco that chased himself out of there?
I'm telling you, flat out, we know what caused that. It was a big mistake. Sims should never have been brought in. And I think the ripple effect is we're feeling it right now. Virginia fans, we would have a fifth-year senior quarterback starting right now.
Dude, come on. You're just opening up old wounds.
Well, I hope it's a...
Well, you could say what you want.
I hope it's a ripple effect and not a tidal wave.
He would have beaten Pittsburgh, and he probably would have won this last game.
Well, he may not have been the best or the strongest arm guy, but he was a smart guy that understood the offense and tried to read the defense and throw the ball where it had to go.
And he won 8 games the last year that he was fully starting without being undermined.
Listen, dude, that's like 2 years ago.
Right? So what?
Yeah,
so what?
It's
lines are flashing. Let's take a call there, Jesse.
Got to line them up first. Got to give me a second.
All right. So people are calling. They're worked up. People are ready to burn down the house.
No, we're not ready to burn down the house yet.
Well, you're trying.
You have to be optimistic, but we go back to what we talked about at the outset. The next 2 weeks are going to make or break this season.
Listen, absolutely.
If we find a way to win the next 2 games, then things look a lot better. If, heaven forbid, we lose the next 2 weeks, then we're in deep, deep trouble.
Well, they're in deep trouble right now. Let's be clear on that.
Yeah, no question.
The offensive line is just not moving people out of there enough. Occasionally a back, whether it's Shepard or Parks, breaks through. It seems like every time our buddy Mizell gets the ball, they're swarming all over him. So there has been very little blocking. Let's take line 2. Is that Max?
Hey, guys. Good show. I'm probably jumping the gun a little bit, but I just think that it's starting to look to me like London, like Mike London, is in over his head a little bit here. I got to be honest. I don't think it's all him. You know, I want to put the emphasis on here. I think Virginia, I've been a Virginia fan since I was 12, 1968, right? Virginia is just a tough place to win. It really is. It's a tough place. I mean, only one guy in my lifetime has ever won here consistently. And we were very lucky to have him, you know, but it's a really tough place to win. I think we're finding out now what a great coach George Welsh was. You know, it's just, it's a different kind of place. You know, and I'm starting to really wonder if Mike London has what it takes to win here. You know, maybe somewhere else.
Yeah.
But here, it's tough.
All right, let's deal with that stuff. First off, no two ways about it. The old Salt was a brilliant coach. He was the he was the winningest coach at two schools.
Yeah,
there's only
Hall
one
of Famer.
Only one other coach ever did that. That was Bear Bryant.
Yep.
Okay. Let's also be clear. One thing that I do not like that London has done is he's burned all these red shirts, and that's exactly what got Al Groh in trouble amongst his other issues, like not working with the high school coaches. But on the flip side, you know, sometimes players have got to come through for you. You know, on Saturday, it was pretty obvious. One of our defensive tackles had a really good game. The other struggled quite a bit. And there wasn't enough subbing going on, and that's why that running back was getting all that yardage. Chris Braithwaite was suspended academically for this semester.
Well, see,
that hurt us.
That's the thing about Virginia. I mean, Virginia is actually a school where they actually lose important guys to academic issues. When's the last time? I mean, no. You know, I'm not trying to. You know, I don't mean to be bitter or rip Tech or anything. But when's the last time they lost an important player to an academic issue?
Well, you know,
when's the last time any of those schools in the ACC, Clemson, when's the last time they lost important player to an academic issue?
Very good point. You know, it's very...
It doesn't happen.
It's very interesting. I have noted this for the last 4 or 5, 6 years. Virginia also lost Justin Renfro. So there are two defensive tackles that would be in the rotation.
Flip side of the coin is, with the number of penalties and with the situation at Pitt where the guy fails to get away from the punt, maybe we need to lose more guys to academic issues.
Because
we're not playing very smart.
Well, you know, Frank, I mean, you make a good point. The players do have to come through for him, but these are his guys. These are his guys. And that's how you evaluate a coach. The coach, I mean, basically, when you look at what a coach does, you look at what his players do. The players are a reflection of him. And this is his program now. He's been here 4 years. This is not, he's not winning with other guys. I mean, he started to remind me a little bit of Dave Lato. Now, Dave Lato, he had a really good second year with another guy's recruits. But as the program started to become more and more his, they got worse. And really,
well,
really
this is Harbaugh. Let me jump in and say a little something from Mike Lennon here. From a character standpoint, there's a big difference. Not to knock Coach Lato, but Coach Lennon is a terrific guy. Whether or not he's the guy to bring Virginia to success on the football field, I guess is still in question. But I think he's
that.
Just he's a great guy.
I wasn't talking about his character. I was just talking about the way
the coaching aspects.
Yeah, the direction team is going, And once again, I mean, London did a nice job at Richmond. You know, when they hired him, it's like you're hiring a guy. You're hiring a guy to coach at a tough place, a tough place. He had a rebuilding job to do. He had never rebuilt the program ever. I mean, when he got to Richmond, they were pretty well set.
Yeah, listen. Unfortunately, we've got to jump to a commercial break.
Okay.
Please stay with us. We're going to try to get to these other callers, and we know that David Sloan is holding, so please stay with us. This is Who's Talking. Thank you.